Good morning. Today is Friday, January the 21st. Joining us this morning is our Arcata City Manager.
Still Karen Deemer.
Still Karen. Yeah. No, I was thinking that you've probably been rather busy the last little bit. It's more than normal.
Been a busy start to the year.
Yeah. So we'll...
Can't complain.
No. And as they say, what good would it do anyway, right?
Yes. Certainly in this station, that's the truth.
Oh, I see. A broad shot right across the bow to start things with. All right. Well, then we will...
Now he's looking hard for
no, no, no. The category is
it?
Some things are not what they seem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I think you could just write 2021.
Let's say blacklist. Why do we say blacklist?
I'm just going to go stumped. Guessing that seems dangerous.
Oh, okay. You weren't going to say something like because he has a radio station? All right. Why do we say blacklist? Deans of noted British colleges and universities often had to deal with misconduct. Shocker all around. Many kept ledgers in which they recorded the names and misdeeds of students who broke the rules. A dean's register of offenses was typically bound in...
apparently black leather.
So the records it held made up his blacklist. Owners of business firms were less precise about notebooks used in order to jot names of customers who didn't pay promptly. A record of people who should be denied credit took the campus label, in spite of the fact that a merchant's blacklist might be kept in a blue or brown book. From these specialized uses, the blacklist expanded in meaning. Today it means any kind of records that identify people who should be denied membership or watched carefully.
I feel like it should be in the red list, like if you're in the red. Like, that's when you're financially...
The red list had a whole different connotation. Right. You missed the 40s
and
50s.
We're just stopping now. We're going to just stop now.
Oh, you saw where that trail was going, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, first of the year, any new laws, rules, regulations, bills passed at the state that are causing you consternation or concern?
Little things. Nothing huge. We're just starting to get peeks of into the governor's budget, what's going to be coming out. And so, again, it looks like a lot of money coming down the pike for housing and potentially broadband. So both of those seem positive.
How about mental health?
There could be stuff in there.
You don't look at that part of it too much?
Well, it's just, slowly leaking out little bits and pieces. So. There's just little things for us. There's new regulations on commercial drivers, so we're making augmentations to that. I was hoping
the 18-year-old instead of the 21?
Well, and no.
Whereas that hasn't happened yet. Yeah. That's just being contemplated.
Yeah, no, these are actually requiring specific types of trainings and certifications for drivers. It's going to be adding layers to keep our commercial drivers and to be able to bring
on. Is this like the transit
drivers.
Guys and gals, or are you talking about just... staff
transit,
driving stuff around town?
Yeah, certain size vehicles. The city just has a handful. Most of the trucks you see don't require anything more than what you and I have, but certainly some of our large sewer trucks and large crane trucks do. And so it's just working through those regulations. I was hoping maybe we would get a governor's reprieve for a year or two, just given the difficulty around finding commercial licenses right now in the trucking industry, but we haven't seen it come down. So, we'll comply, but... not what we wanted to be spending our time on the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Housing is something I don't know if California is experiencing what we are or not. A buddy of mine said, hey, have you gone to the U-Haul website lately? I said, why would I? There is a dearth. You can't hardly get U-Hauls in California because they're being used to relocate favorite destinations, the ones we're familiar with, right? Mm-hmm. Texas and Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that things would be loosening up so that you could employ more people more easily so they could stay here.
Right.
Rather than ramping things up going in the other direction.
Right.
Are you, I guess government is the you, having a tough time finding people to work as well as what we are experiencing in the private sector?
Yes, absolutely. But I don't think it's because people are moving out of this area. You know, we are.
No, not our area specifically. Yeah. No, good. It was California in general terms.
Yeah. It could be. I haven't seen the actual statistics in terms of, you know, this last in 2021, and they'll come out. You know, how many people sort of exited California and how many people moved in. What we've seen is that we haven't had the huge, large increases, but we're still having an increase in population in California before at least 2021.
Yeah, I think they call it an offset now.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some fancy word for it. Well, we're certainly not experiencing that in Humboldt County or in Arcata and seeing that. But we are struggling. I would say that it's a little bit job dependent. We've seen a couple of jobs in the city that we've had a lot of response to. But we're still down, you know, half or less of the applications that we would have been 5 years ago when we're flying a position.
Are the jobs that much more narrowly defined, or the requirements so much more stringent, or and you're just not getting as much poundage?
No, I think what we've actually been trying to do is loosen the requirements to start and provide training on the job, right? So if we required a license, let's say a water distribution license to start the job, now we'll say must obtain within 6 months. And so at least an applicant would know, I don't need to come with that, and the city will work with me to obtain that license. So I think we're coming out of the holidays. I'm hopeful that the recruitments that we'll be doing in February and March, I mean, what I'm reading is that everyone who left their jobs at the end of 2021, we're going to wait until after the holidays and start looking. So I'm hopeful that we'll see applicant pools grow.
Are you getting a lot of part-timer requests from kids going to school, or a lot of requests for part-time jobs from the student body? Because I've heard that even they, it's like, they're more inclined to take and drive up their student loan rather than work part-time as they're going through school.
Mm.
If they're here on campus.
Yeah. Yeah. We have been able to fill part-time jobs. We really struggled, though, over the summer. You know, I think a larger percentage of the student population did leave over the summer and headed back where they had housing, you know, at homes or friends or family. But we do see more and more students coming back on campus. Classes started this week, and we're starting to see a larger influx of students coming back to the area.
Yeah, that was weird. Flying back from St. Louis, probably two-thirds were student-related.
Hmm.
Some looked very cool. I was surprised that some others could even find where Arcata was. Stories for the break. When we come back, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, the challenges that any small town has, I think, are pretty well understood by most of us in the area. When I had mentioned the mental health, that wasn't too smart alecky. How's that for a word? Smart alecky.
It was smart alecky.
Yeah, it was like that's. You know, when you think of if we could take, and I did this. Was it last week, Winston? I think it was last week with a couple of folks from the DA's office. The magic pixie dust, and if you could take care of one problem.
Mm-hmm. If you could, yeah.
They didn't go to mental health, which I kind of thought was intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause to me, that's the issue that we're dealing with. You know, and so many other things are related to it.
Mm-hmm.
If we somehow could magically at Richardson's Grove, and a last chance, and at the bridge, Trinity County. If we were mentally challenged free zone, I think this area would just be a panacea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, businesses would be here, employment would be here, We wouldn't have some of the distractions, you know, that you guys have to deal with, that the cops have to deal with. And I think the root there is that mental health issue. And I would have thought with the surplus that the state has, mm-hmm. that they would be doing whatever it took mm-hmm. to address it, instead of some of the other areas that seem to take higher priorities or whatever. Is there any way to quantify the cost in the county, in a city, of what the impacts are of, I guess under the umbrella of mental health, those that are causing challenges?
Yeah. I'm sure communities have probably tried to do it, and I think it's obviously even more complex than just mental health. I mean, I would say the historic root has really just been poverty. It's been an inequity of resources and money to have stable lives for everyone in our culture, right, nationwide, or we could just take our own local region.
Well, yeah, and that part of that is our form of government and our economic form, too. So,
right.
You know, you're going to have those that have more and those that have less. But, right. but with the mental health thing, that's not economic, typically.
Not having access to health care at young ages, not having access to support systems at young ages, not having access to education, which would have gotten you into, you know, potentially supportive counseling, academic services that would have taught you how to manage, you know, certain mental health issues.
Stepping across the line to use heroin, though. Yeah, is that they say it's not economic. What I've heard, it's not as economic as you might think. Same as abuse, you know, physical abuse. It's not socioeconomic. It's more cultural, I guess, within the family unit. Alcohol abuse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you break that chain,
right.
But I would think with all this money that they'd be trying something. Mm-hmm. Different instead of just throwing more money at the same solutions and expecting something different.
Yeah, I think the difference that we're seeing, and these are the two projects I think we talked about last month, which are these called Home Key projects. So it's hotel conversions into housing. And even 5 years ago or 2 years ago, they would just give you the money for the housing, right? Where now this money, this program is coming with retrofit money for the units to become housing units, as well as 5 years of supportive wraparound services.
It's like the old days, they used to send checks, and, you know, the drug dealers would get grand response.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell when the money came in.
Right.
Because all of a sudden things were going, instead of...
Right. Or the conservator was...
Controlling things a little bit more tightly might be a good way to say it. Mm-hmm. How are those projects, are they being... Is it too early to know how they're being received? Conceptually?
Well, I think what the state has seen in their first round, which was issued 2 years ago, is that they have seen success in creating housing and moving people from the streets into housing. Our two local projects just were finalized. The council just took the final approval steps on Wednesday night. And so those applications will go in by the end of this month. And then I suspect, you know, February or March we'll hear if those two projects are received. And then there is a really tight timeline, and I think within 12 months they need to be done with conversion and start to have people moved in.
Occupied.
So it'll move pretty quickly from there.
I'm wondering, is there excitement in the shelterless? That one at least doesn't have any kind of political connotations. The shelterless community, that this is something they're excited about? Or is it going to be like some of the other services that they're not willing to comply by the rules and the standards that are put into place and are not availing themselves of certain services or opportunities?
Yeah. I think there is some excitement in the portions of the population that have started to hear about the program. So until we know we've gotten the grants, then we will start, you know, once we receive,
the grants aren't in play? I thought that it was in...
We think we'll get them. We feel really confident. We have really great applicants and partners and
haven't bought any wood yet or...
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And of the applications that we've seen come in from the state, will be the first two from this north region. So we do know that the state tries to spread money geographically, so we have all sorts of reasons why we think we're going to be very successful.
Well, don't forget McGuire's in charge of things.
And we
now
have a Senate Majority Leader. So that's so exciting, actually, but we can talk about that.
Yeah,
later.
We'll talk about how we're going to leverage that thing, too, because, you know, it is interesting, but there's movement still towards the housing, and And some of the concerns that the neighbors have had are being mollified and addressed?
There is. And then we'll start really heavy outreach into the unsheltered population to get the word out and find anyone who is interested and ready into coming into the coordinated system to be eligible.
And you can use that shelter-free phrase, carte blanche. You don't have to credit me.
After the break.
There you go. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer from the city of Arcata. Tricky is the word of the decade, huh?
It probably is the word of the decade. And along that lines, we were talking about housing earlier, and the city this weekend is holding an open house for anyone in the region that is interested in hearing about the city's infill, kind of strategic infill plan and what we call the Gateway Area. This is kind of the western side of Arcata, and looking at
Gateway for all the ships at sea.
Those are days that are far gone by. Huh? But I do love the old photos of the ships coming all the way up into Arcata Bay.
The narrow gauge wharf. You know, I wonder, how did the bay permit that, or were they shallow draft?
Right.
And
it could have all been, when you see some of the pictures.
Would it ever have, it wouldn't have been permitted in the last 30, 50 years. And yet it's such a critical part of what the history was in
our
area.
And how we were built,
Those dichotomies are always striking for me.
But how we are going to build in the next 20 years, I think, is the question that's before.
Like out into the farmland and the reclaimed bay area, or just kind of South G Street?
So this is really north of Samoa and west of what I'll say is K Street or Alliance. So, but the idea of Arcata's general plan has always been not to sprawl, right? And so has been to look at infill. And so densifying in existing neighborhoods is really challenging. How many stories do you allow future development to go up? Do you hold it?
Oh, this
four,
is your eight-story one.
Six, eight. what is that number that works for the community? So our open house this weekend is really to take people through the entire plan in a really COVID-safe way. We'll have 16 stations, and we'll let 16, I'll call them pods, go through. So if you come by yourself, you can tour through by yourself. If you come with a group of three, you'll go station to station with your group of three.
So it's like a walking tour?
Mm-hmm. Because we have heard that we've done a lot of online platform meetings, and we've done actual walking tours of the district for people to kind of point out this is visually, try to visualize what this might look like. But we still have a lot of people that haven't been able to attend from a technological standpoint, our meetings, and so wanted to have an in-person option.
Or
so.
Forgetting about it.
Well, we all do that. We all get busy, right? So we're trying to have lot of opportunities.
As long as there's a couple hot dog stops along the way, you'll have fine turnout. Thank you very much.
So it's at the community center. It actually starts today. In Arcata.
The old one? Yeah, I know. I got the Arcata part.
Right?
The old
Luther
one or the
King
new one?
Junior Boulevard, the new one by Hellsport.
Okay.
And so we'll be open from 11 to 7 tonight, and then we'll be open from 10 to 3 tomorrow. So really encouraging people to come out and check out the plans because it's all in draft form.
Oh, so you're not walking the neighborhoods. You're just walking the exhibit hall.
In the community center, yeah. We do. I mean, if you want to put together a group, we do tours of the neighborhood as well. I think we've done over 20 of them.
That's probably where you really get a sense of what you're thinking about rather than...
Yeah, you know, they have been good. I've been on a couple of them. It can be hard to hear, and it's hard to pull out maps and look at, you know, a proposal for, you know, L Street and K Street maybe being a one-way, you know, one way up and one way back down. But how would that manage transportation or circulation? So some of that has been easier to see, you know, on maps that we'll have at stations.
Well, those are the aces, too. I mean, that's why you pay the consultants for that kind of stuff, not Joe Bob, regular person.
Yeah, but it's a really good time to give input into the plan. It's very early in the process still. But the council, you know, within the next few months, will start to put a framework around it. We really won't be adopting this probably till close to the end of the year. So it'll be a long planning process, but getting the more input we can get at the front end now will make the outcome of the plan, you know, what the community wants to see.
If I was thinking of infill in that area, I would think of some of the older, dilapidated, semi-industrial, commercial buildings that either are currently unoccupied or instead of maybe 5,000 square feet, you know, maybe 1,000 feet is rented out.
Right.
And being able to, I mean, if you're talking about concentration, and it, which is kind of the definition of infill, at least from my point of view, there's a bunch of stuff that could go on without having to do major, huge buildings if there was a willing seller.
Right.
Is that one of the primary stumbling blocks to doing things like this is that they're just kind of happy as it is, thank you very much, and there's not interest, so you have more having to be placed on less parcels?
I think we just have limited land space, so we are always going to have less parcels. I mean, is what
well,
we're going to feel.
Yeah, but you got less population too, so you know it's all numbers.
So I think it's for some of the property owners. I think it's either they haven't wanted to sell, and they haven't had the incentive to develop. And so part of this is looking at we did before we even started this planning process. We did a market study. And so that is a great place to start, is to read the market study to say what is actually affordable to build and maintain and operate in this community, in this region. And that is really where we came to what pencils out at 4 stories, 6 stories, or 8 stories. And that's why a mix was originally included in this, the very draft, to say how does this fit as a vision for Arcata. And if it doesn't, then this is the, you know, this is the time for us to decide that.
So it's like the retail space on the lower floor and then apartments or condos upstairs.
Certain types of mixed use. And so part of it is maybe been a property owner's unwillingness to develop or not having the resources to develop but not interested in selling. Some of it could be that it was zoned so specifically that type of use no longer pencils out for that property, right? So for the city to come in and the community support an increase in types of buildings that could go into a particular parcel will hopefully incentivize that property owner to either develop or sell at a higher price to somebody who could develop for more uses. That's
now
the whole point.
The state used to have the redevelopment agency.
The good old days sometimes we say.
Well, it seems like this kind of stuff would be a perfect functional definition of why that should be in place. You mentioned, you know, lack of willingness. Okay. But if they don't have the financial resources, you'd love to do it, but can't afford, you know, whatever the current financial requirements would be.
And for some, they can't afford not to get the rent that they're getting off the property, and yet they can't afford
They're kind of the in that tough spot. Is there any funding that the city has access to if somebody has interest, to be able to get out of that scenario?
We're still looking. Our region just falls. The projects are a little small for some of the financing.
Big for us, but too small for anybody else.
Some of the schemes right now. But we'll see what this plan ultimately looks like, and you might be able to put together a grouping of parcels that could go for something together.
It's called the co-op, right?
That's right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with four airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on AHA, American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Reno, and Las Vegas. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable.
Good morning,
so book
KINS.
Your trip now.
News
for more information,
time,
go to flyhumboldt.org.
We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, a little bit of legal activities going on with the former mayor. Is that impacting anything that's going on with the city government? Are you guys being distracted by that at all, or is it something that's running parallel and it's not really, you're not having to deal with it as an entity?
Yeah, it'll be good just to have the investigation come to a close and to, you know, figure out what that then normal working arrangement will be, but otherwise, I think we've got so many projects on the horizon, and we've just really hit the ground running this year, and so staff are knee-deep or much deeper in some ARPA-funded projects, right? I mean, launching...
What kind of fund?
Yeah, I know. There's that bureaucratic... the American Rescue Plan Act. So, you know, the monies that the cities have received from the federal government around COVA, we sometimes say ARPA. That's our short term there, but thank you, Brian, for that.
This is the federal dollars?
The federal dollars, okay. Yeah. Yeah, and so for us, it's working on the Community Ambassador Program, which will be, you know, just kind of support eyes and ears and information around the downtown plaza area. Sometimes you see them in communities or volunteer programs. This one will be a paid program. We're looking at some similar programs that they've had in San
Francisco. Just kind of wander around and...
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Okay, you said eyes and ears, community, and then San Francisco. You had to screw it up by saying San Francisco. Is it working down there?
Yeah.
I mean, the ones that you hear stories of both sides that,
yeah,
you know, I had a lot of questions this weekend. But are you going to San Francisco anymore?
Yeah.
Because of all of the cultural challenges. And,
yeah,
and
lots
issues.
Of people. I don't know.
Well, and
I mean,
then,
I have.
And then leaving also, not just setting up camp,
yeah,
so to speak.
I mean, I've only, you know, so none of us are traveling very much, but the one time, right, I was down in San Francisco, we definitely saw a lot of people that were enjoying themselves.
The normal, regular, touristy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's one of the programs.
Is this program then helping to lend itself to the success that San Francisco is experiencing?
San Francisco, Long Beach is in San Diego, are two other programs that we've looked at pretty extensively. But the idea, I mean, and this is nothing new. We've talked about this in Arcata for many years in partnership with Main Street, is just having, you know, individuals that are on the plaza that could answer questions, that could help escort to your car.
Oh, you're talking about like docents almost.
Yeah, that could provide referral services to people that are struggling in the community. You know, so we'll see. So we're working on trying to get that program up and launched, and then the council.
So what profile do you have of the type of people that you want for those positions?
A lot of energy, a lot of love for Arcata, I would say, just commitment to the local businesses. You know, part of it will be touching base with a few businesses each day to find out what are specials, what's happening in the community, being able to promote, whether it's karaoke night at one place or a two-for-one special that somebody might be offering. And I think somebody that just wants to help people with directions. I mean, we've got new students that are coming in. We'll have a big turnout.
Yeah, I was thinking younger, in shape, that, you know, if they're helping somebody to the car.
I don't think they need to be younger.
Under 60. Fine.
Even know.
I mean, they're going to be helping people carry stuff.
Sure.
Those types of things.
You to be able to be on your feet for 4 or 5 hours. But you know what? If you can't, and you've got a love and a passion and want to share Arcata with people, and you could do it for 2 hours a day, we're going to be excited
you
about
be
those
the,
individuals
the Oracle
as well.
In the center of the plaza?
Yeah. I think it really is kind of that warm greeting. Yeah.
So you have some at the plaza, some at Northtown?
We're starting with kind of the pilot in the downtown area. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll look for those routes to expand.
Yes. Yeah. No, we hope so. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, have fun on your event tomorrow. Well,
yeah, today and tomorrow.
Too,
yeah. So come by the community center this afternoon and tomorrow.
See the real Karen Diemer. Get her autograph. Sit down and say hi. See everybody tomorrow.